through the whole of Psalm 37. And this week we're going to do a bit of a deep dive into just a bit of it. Because I've been reading and feeding on Psalm 37 for at least 30 years. And I still get good stuff out of it, amen. God's words are full of life. So you can read the same verse day after day after day and you'll get life from it every time, amen. I was talking to Alex before while we were setting up this morning about, you remember a few weeks ago, Alex preached about God's wings using the prayer shawl and the tassels on the prayer shawl and how that phrase is throughout the Old Testament. And one of my favourite verses, it says, we take refuge under the shadow of your wings, it says in Psalm 36. And it was only since Alex was teaching on what that Hebrew word really means, I thought, well, actually, that's a picture of God with like a prayer shawl on, and he's covering me with his wings, with his prayer shawl, if you like. And so it's good to dig down deep. And so we're going to zoom in on one verse of Psalm 37, but it's one of these. So let's just refresh ourselves. And this was what I did, the slide from the first time in January we looked at it. And those highlighted in yellow are basically what God's telling us to do. Number one, don't worry. Tell the person next to you, don't worry. Okay? There's never a good time to worry. And quite often on the media, you'll hear them saying, what should we be worried about? Or this is very worrying. You know, I usually switch off at that point because I don't need to worry about anything. Amen. And worrying is counterproductive. So don't worry about the wicked. Don't envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. What we do, the positive thing for us to do is trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for him to act. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm a bit of a doer. I'm a bit of an activist. And, sometimes I find it hard to just be still and receive from God. And but this scripture tells us there is a time for us to be still in the presence of the Lord. Just unwind and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry, that's a repeat, about evil people who prosper. Or fret, it means the same thing, about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. So I'm going to zoom in on verses 3 and 4, are perhaps the most well-known. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So what's it mean for us to trust in the Lord? I think in the New King James Version, it says what that word actually means is to commit yourself entirely to the Lord. I don't know if you've ever done a high ropes course, Go Ape. I have a few times. And when you're really high off the ground, and I don't know if anyone else has done them, but they try and make it as scary and, you know, you look at it and you think, is that really going to, am I really going to be able to balance on that? Or is it? And, but you've got to bite the bullet and you've got to commit yourself entirely to that rope, those pieces of wood. And that's the picture of putting ourselves entirely into the Lord's hands. I was at a men's conference a week yesterday, and what I felt the Lord say to me was, you've been playing it too safe. You've kind of been hugging the trunk of the tree, and I want you to go out on a limb. And I remember Dave Jewell used to say that. He said, you know, where does the fruit grow on a tree? It grows at the end of the branches. It doesn't grow on the trunk. So if we want to see fruit, we've got to be prepared to go and really, you know, put ourselves entirely in the Lord's hands. Hallelujah. So, and do good. What does do good mean? Jesus said, someone called Jesus once good teacher, and he said to them, no one is good apart from God alone. And in the Bible, what's good is what God says to do. okay, which can seem crazy. It can may not always something we think is good, but if God says to do it, then we do it. And I'm reminded of that story, Smith Wigglesworth, where he was praying for someone, a woman who had cancer, and she was in so much pain and so weak that she couldn't actually stand up and support herself. So when she came forward for prayer, there were two people holding her either side, and the Holy Spirit said to Smith Wigglesworth, tell the people either side of her to let go of her. So they did, and she fell flat on the floor, and everyone in the audience went, this, you know, so Smith Wigglesworth basically listened to the Holy Spirit, and he didn't care what people thought. He would do what the Holy Spirit told him to do. So he said, pick her up. So he picked her up. He said, let go of her. And I can't remember if it was two or three times this happened. But the third time, I think the audience was about to, pick him out and run on him. When the woman got up herself, and the cancerous tumour, which was huge, was left on the floor. She was completely healed. So, you know, you could, in the audience, you're kind of thinking there, is he doing good? Looks like he's actually harming her. Looks like he's being cruel and heartless and ruthless to this really ill woman. But, and sometimes Jesus did crazy things like spitting on people's eyes. That is a good thing to do. If the Holy Spirit, would you do that if the Holy Spirit told you to spit on someone's eyes? I see some excited nods from the younger ones here. You know, quite fun. But us older ones, we've got reputations. But, you know, so doing good is whatever God tells you to do. But let's keep it simple, because that's, what I've mentioned is some of the crazy stuff. But just the simple things. What has God called us to do? Number one, don't worry or be afraid. So if ever you find yourself worried about something or afraid about something, doing good is praying about it instead. Because the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but instead pray about everything and ask God to help you. So there's always an alternative to worrying or being afraid, and that's asking God's help. Be thankful. You know, the Bible tells us always to be thankful. So doing good is always being thankful. And you know, how many of us could be more thankful than we are at the moment, do you think? I'm putting my hand up, I certainly can. We have a natural tendency to see the negative in things, to criticize, complain, think I could do that better. I know Karen often corrects me. I start moaning about the government or some organisation I've been on the phone to, and I think they're all a bunch of... Anyway, but that is a waste of space, I should say. But, we are so blessed in this country. I mean, think about, this tragedy in Turkey, isn't it, and Syria. You know, we are just so blessed there. Even the person who's worst off in this country, is so much better than many people around the world. So being thankful... Asking God to help us. Okay, what else is doing good? It's receiving God's love for us, just like Alex encouraged us at the minute. How often do we forget that God loves us? How often do we forget that God's got our picture in his wallet? I remember Dave Joel used to say that. That's another way. I mean, I've got my children's photos in my wallet because I love them and I like to look at their pictures and think of them and pray for them. And God's the same with us. So doing good is receiving God's love for you. We can always receive more. Amen. I am 57 now, I think, if I get the age right. But I still have got so much more of God's love to receive. And it says, God's mercies are new every morning. Amen. Great is his faithfulness. And we can show his love to others. Okay, that's doing good. Being honest with God. You know, Alex was sharing honestly with us and how he was honest with God when he realized he'd fallen short in some way. And it's good for us to be honest with God and other Christians that we trust about. Rather than struggling on our own, God's put Christian brothers and sisters around us so that they can help us and support us. And the final thing that is, I think, clear and obvious about doing it is being open to share the good news of Jesus with others. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what your challenges or tests are, you are way better off than anyone who doesn't know Jesus. You know, they might be really wealthy, they might have it outwardly, they've got it all together, and you're thinking, my life's really difficult right now. But if they don't know Jesus, our mission, our task is to share the good news of Jesus with them. And right, do good. Next bit, dwell in the land. What does that mean? It means stay where God has placed you until he tells you to move. Amen. And, you know, there have been times in my life where things haven't been ideal. I've not been that satisfied with my circumstances. But I've been meditating on this verse and I've realized, well, actually, Jesus never promised us a bed of roses. Well, he actually promised us trouble, stress, pressure, persecution. That's what the Greek word means, where Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But that's not the end of the sentence. Amen. What's the rest of it say? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Well, Dave Duell used to say, throw yourself a party. When things get tough, throw yourself a party. Get a cake, invite some friends over, and have a party. Amen. And so stay where you are and feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful, amen. And his mercies are new every morning, that we can, no matter what we're going through, God is with us, he's for us, he's available to us through the Holy Spirit, and we can receive whatever we need from him. Hallelujah. Now, there's an old song we used to sing in the church I grew up in. Some of you might know it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That is so true. And, you know, it's always good to focus on him. Thinking about Psalm 37 and feeding on his faithfulness leads me to Psalm 23, and at this conference this week, they taught on Psalm 23 quite a bit, because Psalm 3 talks about how the Lord leads us to pastures of tender grass, green pastures. But to get there, very often we need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's true of our life on earth. We're going to the green pastures of a new earth, a new heaven, where there is no pain, there is no sickness, there's no sighing, there's no grief, there's no death. But to get there, we have to walk through this world, which is the valley of the shadow of death. And one of the preachers who blessed me so much when I was in my 20s, a guy called Kenneth Copeland, not everyone's cup of tea, but I really thank God for him. He used to say, the shadow of a dog never bit anyone. We're not going through the valley of death. We're going through the valley of the shadow of death. So, and who's with us? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So, looking at this psalm, it strikes me that the first three verses, the psalmist is talking to other people. And he's telling other people about his relationship with the Lord. So he refers to the Lord as he. And the other thing that strikes me is there's more activity by God in this psalm than by you and me. Okay. God makes us lie down in pastures of tender grass. Workaholics, take note. God leads us beside the waters of rest. God restores our soul. God leads us in the paths of righteousness, or Jesus our shepherd, to be more specific. Isn't that good news? You know, because a lot of some Christian teachers emphasize what you've got to do, 7 steps to this, 24 steps to this, 57 steps to that. But praise God, that's 1, 2, 3, 4 things God is doing for us. Amen. And then he switches from talking to other people about the Lord to talking to the Lord himself. So in verse 4, he says, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He's having a conversation with his shepherd. And he's reminding himself, in the presence of Jesus, you are with me right now. It's looking scary. It's looking like death is very close. I mean, it's shadow, but you are with me, so I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So this David is reminding himself of what the Lord is doing for him. So once again, the Lord is doing the action. The Lord is staying with you, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me. When I meditate on this scripture, what I think his rod and his staff are the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's how I apply it. Maybe the Holy Spirit will show you other things or more things about that. But and then he finishes off. I should have put verse 6 in here. But he's still talking about you. And again, the Lord is doing the work here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And then it finishes by saying, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he's finishing off talking to other people again and declaring to them that everything's going to be okay for the rest of his life, and his future looks bright because he's going to live in the house of the Lord forever. So some questions for us to apply this to ourselves. What does it look like for you to lie down in a place of rest and be refreshed by Jesus? That's a good question to ask yourself. Some of these next few questions, they threw them out to us at the conference I was at this week, and I really enjoyed processing them for myself. For me, it often looks like going for a walk where I am meditating on God, that I'm resting, I'm focusing just on him and listening to what he's saying to me. And I like walking, particularly in the countryside or nice places. Other things that work for me is just having some time with some of the worship songs that really speak to me, and sometimes lying down on the floor and worshiping God. Number two, if we are noticing unhealthy or sinful behavior in our lives, let's examine our feelings and the needs behind them that are going unmet. And this is a useful quote. Behind every, let's say, wrong behavior or unhealthy behavior, there is a feeling, usually a negative feeling. Behind every negative feeling, there is a need, and that need is not being met. God wants to meet our needs, amen. I shall not want. So often, if we notice behavior that is not the way we know it should be in our lives, our own behavior, the best thing to do is to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, what's causing me to act this way? Why do I feel this way right now? I just want to bring my need for encouragement, my need for support, my need for appreciation, my need for affection, my need for whatever it might be, encouragement. I bring those needs to you, and I ask you to meet them in the way that you know best. That's a great way for us to deal with any behavior we notice in our lives that's not good. So here's five questions just to finish off with, and we'll just take a few minutes to pray before we go into communion. Number one, where is God inviting me to go deeper with him? Where is he inviting me to go deeper with myself? Maybe let him speak to me about some issues or things. Where is God inviting me to go deeper with other people? Where is God inviting you to be honest with him, honest with yourself, and honest with others? Because honesty, living in truth, walking in the truth, means being honest with God, ourselves, and other people. Is God getting our attention about a behavior, feeling, or need that he wants to meet that is causing us trouble? Is there a lie you are believing about yourself that God's truth needs to set you free? Do you believe you're not good enough? Do you believe that God can't really love you as much as he loves Jesus? Do you believe that God will answer other people's prayers, but he won't answer your prayer? That's a lie. All these are lies. And, you know, when we recognize that we're believing a lie, it's good to go to God and have a conversation with him about it and say, Lord, I know I believe this, but I know it's not true. I give it to you and I ask you to speak to me your truth that's going to set me free from that lie. Is there a wound or a hurt that you need to give to Jesus? You know, Jesus wants to restore our soul, heal us on the inside. Sometimes people who are very angry or short-tempered or like a volcano that you have to tiptoe around lest they erupt, usually they've got a hurt or a pain inside them that has not been healed. And unresolved pain leads to anger. And, you know, anger can lead to all kinds of unhealthy behavior. Sometimes violence in the worst, most extreme cases. And but as Christians, we can bring our wounds and our hurts to Jesus, and he can bring healing to them, and often use other Christians to bring that healing as well through prayer. So let's just pray for a few minutes, just let the Lord speak to you about those questions before we go into a time of communion.